We're on a steep, heavily wooded hillside about a mile above a barrier dam on the Muskegon River in Michigan. The land is part of a private church camp, so human intrusion on the site is low, and the pond behind the dam provides plenty of food for eagles rearing their young. Once every 5 years, researchers are permitted to come here and take young birds from their nest.
Usually we try to keep people about a quarter mile away from the nest, and that way we don't have human disturbance that would cause them to fail.
Bill Bowerman is a wildlife toxicologist from Clemson University. He first became part of this eagle survey as a grad student at Michigan State more than 20 years ago. About the same time, researchers began taking blood and feather samples. Wildlife veterinarian Jim Sikarski says eagles sit atop this aquatic food chain, so any contaminants in the ecosystem eventually show up in them.
The contaminants that are in the plasma from the blood and from the feathers then help us evaluate the quality of the water in the area around the nest. So we do birds from different watersheds every 5 years as part of DEQ's water quality surveillance plan.
The nest is a tangled mass of twigs in an aspen tree, swaying in a strong breeze about 60 feet off the ground. As the research team approaches, the female lifts off and begins to circle and squawk just above the treetops. They lay out syringes and test tubes on the ground. Walter Nesson gets ready to climb the tree. He's worked with Bowerman monitoring sea eagles in his native South Africa. Walter buckles into his harness and straps a pair of climbing spikes to his boots. He has the kind of wiry strength and agility that makes for a good climber. He prefers not to use gloves to handle the eaglets because he relies on a sense of feel between his hands and their legs.
Immature birds, nestlings, are quite delicate because their feathers are not hard penned. In other words, there is still blood circulating inside the feathers as it's growing. One has to be careful not to bend them or break them because then they will not develop further. That's the most important thing. The other thing is you need to take care of the birds. Have big claws. It's one of the first things developing on the birds, so they can attack you and claw you and scratch you and that kind of thing.
Walter wraps his climbing rope, really a polyester-covered steel cable, around the trunk of the tree, locks it into his harness, and up he goes.
He's sounding quite hollow.
First he checks the nestlings to be sure they're old enough and in good condition before lowering them down in a special padded eagle bag.
Got him.
With young eagles on the ground, everyone becomes hushed and businesslike.
Don't get your hands in there, Kendall.
2.3. Okay.
Bowerman writes down the eaglet's weight and other measurements. They're 4 to 5 pounds, with some down-like feathers still clinging to them. Most prominent are their dark beaks and yellow-orange claws.
Luck of the draw, you got the big one.
Sikarski carefully drops a cloth hat over an eaglet's head to keep the bird calm. Then he talks a young grad student through taking her first blood sample from the underside of a delicate wing.
Stuff out of that. Draw that and just squirt it out.
Okay.
So hold it. Go back a little bit. Run that straight. All right, there's a good spot right there.
The two nestlings are examined for parasites.
When you've got them in your hand like this, I always look in his ear. See, his ear's a little dirty. See the grunge in there?
Uh-huh.
But no maggots. That's what we want to make sure.
Then they're leg banded.
And then you can just try to wiggle them in.
Tucked gently back into the bags and hoisted along.
Walter, we're going to clip them on. I'll tell you when we're ready.
They're out of the nest for maybe 15 minutes.
Okay.
Places like this, far upriver from the Great Lakes, were refuges for eagles back in the DDT era. Eagles survived here because fish couldn't pass above the barrier dams on rivers and carry their toxic burden with them. And Bowerman says the difference is still noticeable today.
If you live along the Great Lakes, you still have higher levels of PCBs. You still find DDE, which is the eggshell thinning compound that caused the eagles' decline in the first place. If you're in an area like this, which is upstream of the Great Lakes, there's much less level in these inland birds.
Eagle research in Michigan extends back 47 years. Bowerman calls it the oldest continuous wildlife survey in the world. It's a record that documents the recovery of a species in trouble, but sometimes the information has a more immediate impact. Bowerman says some years ago, Tests on baby eagle's blood from Michigan showed a spike of an unknown chemical. Lab tests found it to be from a product called Scotchgard, a stain repellent for fabric produced by the 3M company. When told about it, 3M hired Bowerman's professor, John Giese, to find out how widespread the compound was.
John's lab went all across the world collecting tissues of different wildlife species, and they found it worldwide, and that's why 3M took Scotchgard off the market.
Bill Bowerman worries that monitoring efforts will slack off when bald eagles are no longer protected as an endangered species, and that new contaminants will come along and be missed. But he can't help being inspired by the strength of the bird's recovery.
Does it make you any more alive to watch that beautiful eagle just soaring around? And it's really neat to see how many there are now. So this is just spectacular.
For the Environment Report, I'm Bob Allen.